Welcome to episode 18 of the PMK podcast, which stands for Phil Marriott and
Catherine Ellis.
Do the jingle, Catherine.
PMKE.
See, it wouldn't be the PMK podcast if we didn't have that song jingle produced and sung by the diva herself.
Indeed, but
exactly.
No,
except
right.
No imitations.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So if you're a new listener to our podcast, thank you for being here. How did you get here? We'd be very interested to hear
we
how
would.
You got here. Whether it's via Facebook or Twitter,
we
can find out what's
menu,
effective.
Don't we?
Yeah.
From the internet, search engine, friend or family member.
If you are new to us, my name is Phil Marriott and I have been a previous radio presenter.
I thought you were going to say I have been someone else in the past.
I have been someone
thinking,
else.
Thinking, really?
The big reveal.
It's interesting.
Oh. And yes, Catherine Ellis is, well, all-round entertainer, I think.
Guess what?
Say.
I'm Catherine Ellis. However, I was Catherine Wood before I got
in
married.
A previous life,
so
in a previous
have
existence.
I had another name.
Well, you have obviously released many songs. One of your songs, the early one, was Catherine Wood, wasn't it?
Yes, in fact, without asking me, they abbreviated my name to Kathy. So, in fact, it was Kathy Wood.
How presumptuous.
How rude.
Yeah.
And not only that, they spelt it with a C.
It's even ruder.
Mm. In fact, one of them was Kathy Woods, whoever she is, with a C.
I get it all the time with double R double T. Obviously, that's why I'm called double R double T, because you gave me that name.
I did.
When I worked for Gaydar Radio, because everybody was spelling my name wrong. They were always spelling it with one R or one T. And I just think to myself, well, it's the same spelling as the hotel. Sadly, no relation to the people of the hotel, because otherwise I'd be a bit richer than I am now.
You might not. You might be sheep of the family.
Yeah, quite. But yeah, it annoys me when I see it on posters and stuff. Not, I'm not becoming a diva. I'm not. That's your job.
No, you are one already.
I am one already. But it annoys me when people get my name spelled wrong. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, it's really annoying. In fact, I don't like bad spelling, full stop.
Yeah, bad grammar.
Something that really gets on my nerves.
I know.
Do you know one of the main things that annoys me, like, I just cannot believe that so many people seem to do.
You're without the E.
Is when they're saying, yeah, you're without the E.
You are.
But also when they're saying it's all too much, or, I love that too, which
T-O.
Is, for those of you who don't know, T-double-O. And they just put T-O, which means I'm going to this place from that place.
Yeah. It's
like, hello!
It's really common as well, isn't
and
it?
And they might have it as their Twitter status, and you've only got 10 words. Is that to say everything about you? And that just tells me that you can't spell.
So if you're new to the podcast, welcome along to the Phil Marriott and Catherine Ellis podcast. We are grammar Nazis.
Yeah, and if you're going to write to us, please can you check your spelling, because it's going to just really annoy us.
It will be a bugbear of ours, and we'll be talking about it constantly on forthcoming podcasts.
What? Grandma Nazi. Grammar Nazi. Grammar Nazi!
We should introduce Max Ellis, who you might hear papping away in the background there. The camera is going 10
Can
to the
dozen.
Can
we hear him talking, or does it just go quiet when he starts talking?
Yeah, we need to amplify his voice. But
so for those of you that don't know, he's my husband.
He's your better half. Well, I got
it's
told
so
off for
romantic.
Saying that last time.
I should have a roving mic. Why haven't I got a roving
yeah,
mic?
Yeah, we need to get you a wireless mic, don't
go
we?
Go on so Amazon, can, Max, and order one.
Yeah, I think, yeah. My budget is to the limit this month, but maybe for a future one. Because it's all expenses spared on this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, as can be is evidenced by my gaffer-taped
Have we got a picture
stand.
Of that, Max? Yeah. Have we got a picture of the Bodget and Scarpa mic stand?
In fact, not only that... Well, you've actually been abroad, but I have been nowhere and done nothing. And I've got nothing to say at all this week.
Less is more sometimes, I think, isn't it? Because you're looking very...
Is it?
You're looking very relaxed compared to the last month we were here when there were spiders crawling across the floor. You're quite stressed on the last one. But no, if you want to scroll back to a previous episode, if you're listening on iTunes, by the way, you can subscribe now to us. Very easy to do that, as Catherine found out recently.
Yes.
It took about half an hour. But you can listen to the music version if you're listening on iTunes over on Mixcloud at PMK Podcast. We're all over social networks. Lots of fabulous pictures that Max has taken as well. So like us, spread the word, tell your dog and your family.
Play a record.
And yes, play a record. What have we got coming up, Catherine? Do you know?
Well, we've got the fact that I've got nothing to say and haven't been anywhere. And nothing, no. Actually, I could. I have been continuing, for those of you who've tuned in recent episodes, I've been continuing to declutter my life.
You have.
And I've...
it's working.
Actually, through my friend Rita Campbell, I've been recommended Musical Magpie.
Yes.
She's very easy. Takes seconds to join. Free. You can then go through all your old CDs. Let's face it.
Music Magpie, isn't it?
We don't...
In case you're...
What did I say?
Musical Magpie.
I thought it was... Is it Music?
I think it's Music Magpie.
Anyway, look Sorry. It up. One of the two. Anyway, it's great. And you just scan the barcodes and it tells you what it'll give you. And some of them are 1p, 5p, 3 quid, whatever. Anyway, I've got a box of old crap waiting to be picked up for nothing by them.
Do you want to name something that was in that
quid?
Box? 50 quid! Yeah. By the way, they're not giving us money to endorse their name.
Well, they could do.
Well, they are, because they're paying you for the CDs that you've sent them.
They just... We don't need CDs anymore,
no,
do we?
No, we don't.
We just don't.
Everything's download, isn't it, now? Save space.
I mean, I've gone retro, as you know, and well, we both have, and we listen to our vinyl.
We are. Yeah.
We're going to put anything on.
I'm going to do exactly the same, because I'm moving house soon. Moving in with Jeremy. I know. The lovebirds are tweeting.
I forgot to buy a hat, as the late Silla
Not just
say.
Yet. Not just yet. Steady. but I'm, you know, obviously throwing lots of stuff away as well, just to save all the hassle of moving stuff. Mm. But I just think it's easier, isn't it, in these modern times, just to downsize and get rid of shit and clutter.
It is. And as you know, Phil, my mother has had to go into a nursing home, and over the last couple of years we've moved her out of her house and all her stuff, and oh my God, that woman literally had never thrown anything away.
Had lots of stuff.
Things she'd woven at school.
Yeah.
You know. It's just crazy. It's got to go.
But I think it's showing on your face.
Do you think?
You definitely look more chilled and you look more at peace with the chaos that's happening in your life.
Well, last time I saw you, I was about to move my mother into the nursing home near me. She has now been there for 3 weeks. I now know she's safe. She's being looked after. So other than making the time to go and see her, I don't actually have to worry about her.
You got peace of mind, I think.
I got peace of mind,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, you have.
Peace of mind.
It's good to see. We have got lots of stuff on this episode. Because I'm out with Sarah Millican, comedian.
Yes, luckily you still have a life.
I've been doing certain things after my holiday.
We got your holiday to talk about, your birthday.
Yeah.
Right, this is all about you then.
It's all about me this episode. And I've got to say thank you to Berry and Jug. I'll do that shortly because they've sent me a very kind gift. Mm. Actually, it's the second one they've sent, because they sent you one before.
They did.
And they've now sent me one. In fact, they've sent me quite a few gifts.
I've sent you four.
Four bars.
Do you just want to talk about it now?
Should we just talk about it now?
Aren't we? Berrier and Jug. Berrierandjug.com. Lovely Steve Irving. Sent Phil a bespoke selection of four soaps, which look good enough to eat. Not that we will be eating them, but they're beautiful, aren't they?
Well, there's one with gold leaf.
I know.
And like a pale blue.
Where's my gold leaf?
Colour.
I'm the diva.
Really beautiful soaps. And
one looks a bit like licorice.
There's one that is a lavender one as well.
Yeah, that looks beautiful.
But yeah, I've got to say, to look at it, it goes back to what I was saying before with the gay bar soap that Rachel gave me, Rachel Gilchrist. It's so good, I don't want to use it. But I will use these. But I feel kind of, it's like a cake, isn't it? When you see the cakes on Great British Bake Off, and they look so beautiful, especially the ones that, was it Nadia? The ones that she was making, really creative.
Oh, God, did you see the peacock she made?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful, wasn't it? With
I
the
love
tail.
The bake-off.
Yeah, brilliant. But yeah, I don't want to, it's like, it'd be the same with those cakes. I don't want to eat them. I just want to look at them. But you have to.
Phil, you've got to use things.
I will.
This
I will use them.
You don't save your best.
And I'll
use
give them another review.
Every day is a celebration.
It is indeed. We've got top telly to talk about on this episode. Lots of new music as well. Kinky Boots, which I went to see at the theatre.
Oh.
I went without you because there's a reason.
Oh.
Because I got given the tickets
the
day.
You're in a relationship now.
No, it wasn't that. It's because I got asked if I wanted to go on the day of the performance, and there was a reason why
you were walking past and it was on in 15 minutes.
I can't remember, but I did see Cyndi Lauper there I quickly met her afterwards.
Okay, so you didn't take me to something you know I want to see, where you met someone you know that I really like. And who did get the opportunity to go, was it Jeremy, boyfriend? Funny that.
It was, but there was a reason why you weren't there. It's because you couldn't make it because you were busy doing something.
But I can't actually know you haven't being asked whether I was busy. This is this is where your story.
I didn't ask you.
Forward slash
I knew
excuse.
That you
falls
around.
Down.
You weren't available. You're in demand.
Think you just decided that I must be unavailable because you just wanted to take your boyfriend.
That's
just
not
you
true.
All over hell. South, south, south.
So we've got that to come. And also the best new music,
you
like
have.
I say.
All I can say is, that sounds good. Oh, really? Was it really good? Oh, yeah, it sounds lovely. Hopefully I'll get to see it sometime.
What a joy to see Sarah Millican today.
Again.
It was a year ago, I think.
I think it was.
Was it last May? Last
I can't
summer?
Remember,
I'm asking you. Like, you can remember all of these interviews and all of these tour dates. The last time I remember, I said to you as I came in, I remember you gave me a biscuit very kindly last time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And you've got a cake here and you offered me that.
We've got yum yums.
Yeah.
You can have one if you like, but that would make the interview quite tricky.
Yeah.
At the end.
Well, it's kind of apt because I was going to ask you about Bake Off, but we'll do that in a minute.
Okay.
More importantly, the tour dates, the Outsider tour that you're going on very soon. I think it's the 15th, isn't it?
Yeah,
15th
of October, yeah.
I'm exhausted just looking at the dates. 149 shows. How the hell are you going to do that? It's incredible.
I know. It's quite long, isn't it? But but the last tour was 142, and this one we're adding a few more, so it's getting a little bit longer. But yeah, it's when you look at it like that, you do think, wow, that looks long. But I see it as like sort of the chunk before Christmas and then the chunk in the spring, and we've got a little break in the spring and then off we go again for the summer. So I'm trying
like
to see it like
thinking.
That. It just makes it more manageable in my brain.
It does seem exhausting, though, when you look at it in figures. But I guess you're going to be enjoying it, though. You'll be having fun.
Yeah, well, it's my favourite part of my job, and it's the thing, you know, I love the most, and the thing that started me doing it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to getting, because I've done quite a few warm-ups and sort of tryouts and, you know, like new material gigs and stuff, but I'm looking forward to getting probably into an hour and a half on stage.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about hearing about it, but it's kind of pointless because it's sold out pretty much
it's
everywhere,
not sold
isn't
out,
it?
No, the first leg is, I think we've got Bradford and Wolverhampton have still got dates in the first leg, but then there are tickets from January onwards.
Come on, Bradford.
So, yeah, come
Put
on,
your finger
Bradford.
Out.
Come on, Bradford.
We need some tickets from
but
you.
But there's quite a few. No, there are tickets left. And we keep adding extra dates and stuff. So it's always worth checking out my website.
So how is it going to be compared to your... Because I think your last tour was the Homebird tour,
Yeah, Homebird
it?
Tour.
And it's funny because we were talking about the DVD last time.
Yeah.
And presumably I'm going to be seeing you in a year with another biscuit or cake talking about this DVD.
In theory, yes.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably be... Yeah, it'll be not this Christmas, but next the DVD will hopefully come out. So, it's quite sort of crazy how quickly it seems to happen. Yet the gaps in between when I get a little bit of a rest and I write the show and stuff seem like a good length of time. But then you think, God, it does rattle on quite quickly.
So, Bake Off.
Yes.
We have to talk about Bake Off because you did the spin-off show.
I did Extra Slice, yes.
Extra Slice. You were standing in for Joe?
Yeah, that's right.
What was that like? Because you're obviously a big fan of the show.
Yeah, I love the show. I think of all of the shows that somebody could have said, can you stand in quite last minute, that's the only one that I would have been all right at, because I already watched the show. I already watched Extra Slice. I know all of the bakers, sort of, you know, I didn't have to go, who's that one? What does she do? And, you know, I knew all of them. And I just plopped into Joe's seat and had such a great time. I mean, Joe does such an excellent job and I adore the woman, but it was so nice to have a little go at being, you know, a little go at being the host for a day. And I loved it. I loved it so much.
It's a phenomenon, isn't it, that show? I mean,
it's
that show is huge.
It had 10 million, was it 10 million? 10 million viewers last night.
Crazy.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is crazy. So what do you love about it? And are you any good at baking yourself?
I try.
Could you do the show? Could you be a contestant?
I don't know. I can make one cake. So can you do that over three challenges? I would have to be like, it would have to be fancier at the end. And then they wouldn't have to tell me what it was, but that it would be my cake in the middle section in the technical bake. But I make a chocolate and banana cake that is pretty good.
Amazing.
But I just do it over and over again.
But
it's
bad for the cravings, though. I mean, when you're watching it, you do... I saw one of your tweets where you were running around trying to find chocolate.
I was in
afterwards.
The hotel in London, and I had to go off and like go to the newsagent and find some chocolate, because you can't sit and watch that and then go, oh, well, now I'll have an apple. It doesn't work.
No.
No, I love the drama that it's from nothing. So I love somebody, you know, somebody drops something or something doesn't set, or and it's because so much on telly is kind of really dramatic and quite, you know, there's loads of crime stuff and there's loads of heavy duty stuff, and for something as light and fluffy as Bake Off to be quite, oh no, he's going to drop it, or oh yeah, no, there's no room in the freezer, or all of this small drama.
Well, I was going to ask you if you genuinely love those moments of drama, like when the, you know, with the cakes, they're not setting or the soufflés aren't rising.
I feel for them. I don't love it in a kind
you're
of...
You're not laughing at them?
No. Oh,
like when
no,
people trip over?
No, I feel so bad for them. Or like when somebody cuts their hand or and they have to go off and they miss the challenge. No, because I think you warm to them all because you get to know them a little bit, and they're always such nice people as well. It's not like, you know, some sort of more kind of, I suppose it's technically a kind of reality show, you know, there's always like somebody that you can hate, and you know, and there's never, they're all lovely, they're all smashing people.
It's not like, I mean, The X Factor, I don't want to pinpoint any programme specifically, but that can get a bit nasty sometimes. I suppose Bake Off is
I wonder if it's just different people. I wonder if bakers aren't the same as like young singers, and there's not as much competition maybe between them. And I think what I like about Bake Off is that they seem to all really like each other. I think that comes across really well. And I know Chetna from the last series writes for, I've got a magazine called Standard Issue, an online women's magazine, and she writes for Standard Issue, and she's great. And you often see when she's talking about on like Instagram or Twitter that they've all, from the last series, they've all got together and had a dinner together, and you think, oh, they're all still pals. And sometimes you see it in the show, if they help, like if they're finished, they'll go and help another, and like if somebody's running late, they'll go and help somebody else. And that's the difference between that and something like X Factor, that it's not sort of resolute, like I must win. It's like, let's all just have a nice time.
See, I'm not like you. I've got a dark side. I want to see them having a food fight, chucking
no.
things around the room. And
you like it when somebody's moose doesn't sit.
I'm terrible.
You meanie.
Now, I've got to ask you about being funny on stage and how easy it is for you, because obviously you've been doing it for a while now, and you're very, you know, you're very professional. Is it always relatively easy to keep the flow going? I mean, what about the days that you don't want to be funny, when you feel like you're a bit angry?
That's why you write a show, so you perform the show, so you can be in a slightly flat mood or you're tired or whatever, and you can still perform the show because you wrote the show on a day when you were much funnier. So because you can't be funny every day, but you can certainly tell a story that you already wrote in a time when you were funnier. So there are days when it's harder, but also the adrenaline of a show just puts you back in that place and puts you back in that mood, and you see all these people and they've planned this night maybe a year in advance, crazily, you know, they've planned this night and they've all been looking forward to it, and that gives you the energy and the adrenaline that you need. If you've had like a slightly rubbish day, or you're tired or whatever, is you've got a bit of a cold or whatever, and then you see how excited, and you hear the sort of hubbub of everybody coming into the theatre, and that feeds you, and then you go out and deliver.
But do you get it when you're not on stage, when you're not performing? Like, say, I mean, I know you've been on TV shows where you're a guest. That's a little bit different. But in the public, when you have your fans coming up to you and they expect you to be funny all the time.
I just tell them that they have to pay for it.
I like
go,
it.
Oh, can I have a joke? And you think, well, you have to pay for that. But it's the same as everybody, all comics say that, because all comics get that when you say to, you know, the mechanic, and they go, what do you do? And you go, oh, I'm a comedian. And they go, oh, be funny. And you think, no, you change me sprockets or whatever they're called. I don't know anything about cars, for free. And so it is that thing of like, if you wouldn't go up to a brain surgeon and say, do as an operation. So I think you can, as long as you're funny with the members of the public, I don't think you necessarily have to tell them jokes, because that's quite an odd thing to just stand and go, well, my dad said the other day, and I think, oh, then this is not what they want.
Kurt and Ching, I think, are the words that spoke to mind. No, I'm a DJ, and I'm obviously working radio as well. I hate, as a DJ, people asking for requests all the time. I don't mind occasionally. I sound really grumpy today. But what are you like with hecklers? Does it thrive you? Does it make you perform a better show with hecklers?
No, I don't really get hecklers that much. I get them every now and again. I get people who join in, and I think that's different. People who are joining in a fun way, like they're joining in and they're shouting out, and it's, you know, but I don't really get people being mean that often. It's kind of a thing that happens on the comedy club circuit, because they've just come out for a comedian or some comedians, and they get four or five, and they might heckle the one that they don't like, or they might, you know, and generally people who are hecklers aren't that smart, so you can usually outwit them quite easily, because first of all, you're not drunk. Secondly, you've got a microphone and amplification, and normally you've got the goodwill of the room. So I never really worry that much about hecklers. It just certainly doesn't make you have a better show. I think it, for a second, it removes so all the people in the room go, oh no, what's this going to be? And the best thing is to put a lid on it as quickly as possible, because those people in the audience, they want to, what I've prepared, they want a show, they don't want me to deal with somebody, you know, who's just been a bit of an idiot.
I could just sense all these aspiring comedians around the country now getting tips off Sarah Millican off this interview. It's like, this is what not to do. It's a great tip.
Happy
I think
to do that. Well, I got tips from people when I started out, so
absolutely. So who were you inspired by when you were
when I first started
out?
I was quite inspired by a lot of the comedians. So if I was doing like a 10 spot, like the free spot, the spot where you're sort of learning your craft and you're not being paid and stuff, then I would be in, I was generally inspired by the people who were closing the gig, the people who were not necessarily household names, you know, and people on the comedy circuit would know them. People who like going to live comedy would know them, but maybe not necessarily they've been on telly, but they're just so skilled and so brilliant. And you see somebody who can deal with hecklers, deal with a drunk crowd, deal with stags and hens, and they're sitting. There's one guy, Craig Campbell is exceptional, and I've seen him deal with such a rowdy crowd but have them in the palm of his hand. Or Sean Collins sitting on a stool yeah. in a really relaxed kind of storytelling way while everybody around is like chaos and they're all drunk and just getting them all, and they all just lean in and listen to him. It's a real skill. There's a lot of Gavin Webster is from Newcastle, from my neck of the woods, is such an astonishing comic. There are so many comics that because people think, I think that telly is the ultimate, and it's not. Stand-up is the ultimate. That's what people always come back to. And if you get to go on the telly, great. Some people it doesn't suit, some people don't want to do it, but stand-up is where it's all at, and that's why I can't wait to go on tour, because this is what I think I'm best at.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen you on the TV because yeah. you're on with Philip and Holly this morning.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to be, not to be rude on daytime TV, because we know that your shows can be a little bit rude.
Yes,
in a good way.
Bit. Yeah, totally.
It's always good to be rude, I think.
I like being rude. Yeah,
but you're not like kind of personal rude. It's about life, isn't it? Rude about
life. Yeah, it's kind of filthy rather than
yeah.
rude. Sometimes.
You're not picking on anyone.
No, God, no. And if I pick on anybody, it's always me. But I love being, it's just how I am. It was never an intention to go, oh, I look like this, but I'll talk like this. It's just how I am. It's how I've always been. But then when you go on a daytime telly programme, it reminds me of when I worked in customer service and I'd be like in the tea break, you know, like in the canteen, effing and blinding. And then I'd come downstairs and I'd be on the till and I'd be like, and how are you? And would you like a bag with that? And you just become a slightly different person, and it's just a version of yourself that isn't the one that's quite so effing and jiffing-y.
Have you ever had a slip up though? Because we've seen you on TV, you know, after 9 p.m. as well, but yeah. on the daytime telly shows like this morning.
No, I never. Because the thing is, most of these programmes are pre-recorded, so if you say something that they don't think is like, if they think, oh, that's too rude for telly, they just don't put it in, and they have absolute control over that. But I've never done it on live. I'm very careful on live because I've done one show and Loose Women and this morning and stuff, and you just think that's the perfect way to not be invited back. And though these programs are all programs that I love doing, so you just know you be professional, because you know you've got to respect those people, and also they might be kids watching. Yeah. I don't mind after 9 o'clock, I'll say what I like, yeah. but before that, you've got to be careful.
Now, we saw you on Noel Edmonds as well.
Oh, yes,
you actually gotcha'd him.
I know.
He sprung out of the shadows.
I know.
Surprised him.
They put me in a Winnebago, but I kept calling it a caravan, which I really liked because it's different, apparently. But yeah, I was very. He didn't know anything about it. Most of the crew didn't know anything about it, and I just popped out. And he genuinely thought that he was playing a game with all of the old contestants, like yeah. former contestants. That they were brilliant as well, because they didn't know either. So nobody knew, but they were such good fun on the day. We had such a blast, and he had no idea, and it was nice because he's always the one that gets one over on people, and it was nice to do it back to him.
And it was Deal or No Deal, and it could have been Car Crash Telly, because I'm hopeless with surprises, and I don't know what Noel Edmonds is like with surprises. He didn't have a clue what was happening.
He didn't know at all. I had an earpiece in. I was in my caravan, and I had an earpiece in, and I was listening to him do the show, and he brought the ball out with the little balls inside, and he was lifting so he could, and he got somebody else to take it out so he could see what the name was, and he was expecting it to be the name of one of the box openers, one of the ones, the guys that were standing around, and the first one said Noel, and then the second one said Noel, and that's when I popped out, and he was just doing that kind of, I don't know what's going on, like something's, there's a mistake here,
yeah.
And that's when I popped out. Amazing. And he had no clue.
It's
it was
brilliant.
Joyous.
Brilliant TV. Now, we can't wait to see you live on the tour from the 15th, mm-hmm. and it is running for nearly a year.
Till the end of September
it's
next
crazy.
Year. Yeah.
What can we expect from this tour compared to your other tours?
Well, I'm still going to be rude. I'm still going to be swearing.
Yay!
Hooray!
Punch in the air.
Tick, tick. Got to make sure they're in. But also, I've got stuff about, it's kind of autobiographical. My stuff is always autobiographical. So I suppose it's the next chapter in my autobiography, really, if you like. So it's kind of anything that's happened to me in the last, since I started writing the last show. So I moved to the countryside, and now obviously that's very different because I've never lived in the countryside and I really don't fit in at all. But I'm trying. And also, I've become more outdoorsy. So I do a lot more kind of gardening, all things that I'd never had a chance to. Since I was a kid, I used to do a little bit dabble when I was a kid, get books at the library on planting seeds. I remember planting some lupin seeds once, and I went in the house to go and get the watering can, and I came back out and I'd forgotten where I planted it. So I watered the whole garden just in case. Oh. It never came up. No surprise. But I have grown tomatoes and things since then, and I love the feeling of growing something from seed and seeing it come up.
Were you saying you're more of an outdoor person now, and obviously the Tories called outsider, that could produce a few sniggles.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there could be something.
Well, yeah, it depends what I'm talking about, what I'm doing outside, doesn't
it? That's the big question mark. You must go and see the tour and then you'll find out.
Exactly.
There we go.
It's a good trailer.
Ka-ching again. Now, you've just done Alan Carr. I know you don't drink.
No.
Because that's the famous thing part of the show, isn't it? When you're joining Alan at the beginning of the show and he gets out the drinks from the globe.
So I took him a drink instead.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I make ginger wine at home and it's non-alcoholic.
Ah.
And it's really good. It's nice. It's quite fiery and I find it very good for settling my belly, which is boring but medicinal. Nice. And I took him a bottle of that because I thought I can't just have a glass of water when everybody else is drinking their pina coladas and whatnot. But I thought if I take him something, and he tried it and he liked it. So that was nice.
I love how he necks stuff back as well. And you do see the glasses steam up as well when he's had a few.
I don't know how he does
it.
Yeah,
I don't know how he does it.
I'm pretty sure it's real. I don't think it's fake. I'm pretty sure it's real.
Did that happen when you were there?
I don't know. He was fine with me.
Yeah.
Because we were both on non-alcoholic, but I'm sure by the end of the show he was probably... But he must just have... Some people people who can drink and all sorts of things and then just be still, you know, focused and fine. And I would have half a glass of wine and I would just be curled up on that sofa. It's lovely sofa. I'd be curled up on that sofa.
That is hardcore, though, to be like that, I think, if you had to have a few drinks when you're working, because it's... I think there is a certain skill in it.
Yeah, it's really...
To pull
he must,
it off.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do it because he's very professional, so he wouldn't do it if he didn't think he could do a
well,
good
Philip
job on
Schofield,
it.
Well, Philip Schofield, who you were with this morning as well, he, you know, was knocking back the sangrias. Or was it
tequilas?
Tequilas.
I know,
nightmare.
They were quite worried
worse.
About that section, I think.
Yeah.
Just because the last time they'd both been on tequila, it hadn't ended very pretty.
Is it the first time that you've been on with Alan Carr?
No, I've done it. I did the Christmas one and I've done another couple before that. It's always a joy, though. Sometimes things pop in your diary and you think, oh, I'm really just looking forward to that, because I love spending any time with Alan. I saw his tour show a few months ago and just being in his company is glorious. It's great fun.
What's it like when you're working with other comedians?
Oh, I love
it. Is there rivalry between comedians?
No. Oh my God, no. I love it. I love it so much working, because when you're on the comedy circuit, you're gigging with other comics. There's four or five of you on a bill maybe, and then when I do new material gigs, I put on other comics and I put all my mates on, and we sometimes go for dinner first and we have a really good laugh. And that's one of the reasons why I've got a support act on this tour. I've got a few over the course of the tour, not just the same one, and we just, you know, they're my favourite people in the world. Hanging out with comedians is excellent fun.
It's fantastic talking to you today,
Sarah. Oh, and you.
Can't wait to see you on tour.
Oh, thanks.
Check out the website. You've got a website which you've got all the tour dates
on there. Yes, just Google my name and it comes up. It's the first one at the top and it's got the crazy list on there.
Excellent. Can't wait to see you, and thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much, love. Thank you.
It's brand new from Churches for the new album, which is fantastic. It's called Clearest Blue on the PMK podcast.
Talking of clearest blue and blue skies and blue seas, you and Jeremy have just been on holiday, haven't you, Phil?
We have. We didn't invite you. We should have done, maybe.
Well, I wasn't free anyway.
Didn't want to leave you out. Well, yeah, it was kind of clearest blue. It wasn't sunshine all week. The temperatures haven't been as great as they were in the summer because we decided to go later.
Mm.
We went second week of September.
You've been to Lisbon, haven't you?
Been to Lisbon, just outside Lisbon, about 15 minutes on the train from Lisbon, a place called, I think I'm going to get pronunciation right, Pasco de Arcos? Pasco?
Wouldn't know.
Think it's Pasco de Arcos.
Okay.
But it's not far from Lisbon, but we went to Lisbon for 2 days.
So this was your first trip to Portugal?
First time to Portugal, and the first time for Jeremy as well. Never been before. Loved it, and I love the fact that it was of the time when it wasn't too busy, because sometimes people love to go on holiday because of the atmosphere and they like loads of people around them. And we kind of wanted somewhere to go that where we could just switch off.
Well, there were some rather relaxing pictures appearing on Facebook of legs on loungers.
Yeah, I know.
Pools in
the cliche photographs of the hot dog legs.
It's nice though, isn't it, to get away and not have to do anything. So what did you do, any sightseeing?
We did a little bit, mainly in Lisbon, but where we were staying, it was quite a small town. That actually became really busy after, rush hour in the evening. People were obviously coming back from Lisbon if they'd gone to work in Lisbon, coming back home. And then all of a sudden it would be chaotic for an hour. But overall, it was just really quiet and really peaceful.
So would you recommend this place?
I would definitely recommend the hotel.
So what was the hotel?
The hotel was amazing. I can't remember what it was called, but let me just hang on.
You could actually go and make yourself a cup of tea. Probably make yourself your dinner for later as well at this rate. Would you recommend the hotel where you stayed in Lisbon?
I absolutely would. And I have to say, first of all, because when we were doing the research for the hotel, well, Jeremy did all the hard work, it does get a great review. Overall, 4.7 stars, the people that have been there. I'm going to try and get the pronunciation right. It's Hotel Villa Gale Collection, or Collection, perhaps, Palacio dos Arcos.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Sounds good, yeah.
But if you Google hotel in Pasco de Arcos, it will come up because it's one of the major hotels.
So what
there.
Was so good about it?
The service, but it wasn't over the top service. It wasn't like, you know, you go to some hotels and you know that they're trying too hard to impress, to maybe get feedback or whatever. It seemed like a genuinely nice, the service that they were giving, it was like they enjoyed their job. You could just tell. But the people that were there, you know, the waiters, the reception staff, all really pleasant to speak to as well. I can't really speak Portuguese.
No.
Which is awful, because you know when you go away, you kind of want to speak the language. I feel a bit bad not making the effort.
It's not something that we learn of. I mean, we tend to learn French at school, and Spanish is quite similar to French, really. I learnt a bit of Spanish at school, or German, I suppose, is the other one. Which is madness, especially now. I mean, really, why aren't kids being taught Mandarin?
But you can
and
speak,
Arabic.
You can speak other languages, though, can't
Not
you?
Not really.
You can
no.
speak French, can't
I
you?
I wouldn't say I can speak other languages.
But you've sung it.
I can get by in French, and I can get by in Spanish.
Well, I did German at school.
And when I say get by, I mean I can order meals and, you know, find out where I am. And
I did French for a month, then my parents moved to Cornwall, so I changed subjects at the other school that I went to, so I ended up doing German. But I wouldn't be able to speak German now. I've just completely lost the ability to remember the language at all, which is terrible, because I have travelled well. It's not like I've not been anywhere, but it's just whenever I go anywhere, I always end up speaking English and getting them to do the work
else,
for me, which
is because
terrible.
Everybody else speaks English.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a common language
can be lazy.
That everyone uses. But I would strongly recommend it. And also, hotels have to be clean, I think. They have to be clean and comfortable, and it ticks all the boxes, absolutely. And it was beautiful. I'm going to show you a picture here.
We could post a picture.
We'll post them on the page.
On the page.
It doesn't really do it justice.
PMKE.
That's the one. That
page.
Is the one.
Which
on Facebook.
One? On Facebook.
Well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
On Twitter,
everywhere.
On Instagram, or everywhere.
But if you want to go somewhere that is thriving, lots of busy people, atmosphere, parties, forget it, because it's not that kind of place. If you want to go somewhere to relax,
I can recommend
kick
somewhere
off
for
your
that.
Shoes. Can you?
Shagaloof.
Shagaloof. I love that. Have you been there?
Yeah, it was, oh God, what
awful.
A nightmare.
Yeah, it's like parts
Magaluf.
Of Ibiza.
Max has called them the pigs on stilts, the big white burnt people in high-heeled shoes.
With their
in
ambags.
Their stilettos, yeah.
Dancing around the ambags. It's such a cliche, but it's so true, isn't
pigs
it?
On
What's
stilts.
The place in Ibiza which is on the west coast of Ibiza? Not because I've been down south, southeast, and I can't remember exactly where it was.
I don't know, Phil. Let me get a map up.
But it's where everybody goes. It's all, I hate to use the term, but all the young people that go.
The young
people. That want to just, you know, get trolleyed, and they want to go there and lose their head a bit.
Well, I'm going there.
No, you're not going there though. You're
no,
going,
going.
You're going
to
somewhere
Ibiza.
A bit. You're going somewhere more upmarket.
Don't actually know where I'm going, but it's
I think you better find out.
Peyton,
you go
the house music singer.
Yeah,
perhaps
we love
could
Peyton.
Play one of his records.
I think we will. Yeah.
Is marrying his boyfriend Boris.
Yeah.
And yes, on the 10th. So I'm not sure if this will be out before or after, but I would like to wish them all the very best of luck.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Very much looking forward to going. Rita Campbell and her husband are going.
And Rita
Shenna's
Diva.
Going.
Yeah.
And various other people. I think it's going to be great fun.
I think it bodes well as well, because it's all the people that have worked together on the scene for the last, what, 20 years? 15, 20 years?
More than that.
Probably more with Fierce Angel.
Yeah.
Because it is the Fierce Angel collective, isn't it? You,
it is.
Peyton. Has Rita worked with Mark Doyle?
Don't know.
Not yet.
I don't know,
but perhaps
actually.
In the future.
I wouldn't say I'm a hardcore Fierce Angel contributor. I dipped in and out over the years.
But you, you know the people
and,
that you yes, know that, do, that yeah. circle. I mean, we've had Mark on the show as well talking about Fierce
Indeed
Angel
we have.
And all the work that goes with it. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you go to the wedding, you're probably going to be singing at some point.
Oh, I am.
Together.
It's already been planned. Don't
oh,
worry.
Has it?
Yeah, there's a person in charge of all the music that I've had to tell them what I'm singing and in what key. And
so, do you know? Are you allowed to tell us?
Yeah, I'm going to sing Respect, doing covers.
Amazing.
And then I'm going to take my PA CD and then do probably do something in the evening as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
Well, Stewie, your PA, your long-suffering PA, who's always fired, he's just walked
well,
in.
He's bothered to actually turn up this week, has he? He was too ill to even talk on the phone in the last episode.
I'm so glad he made an appearance this time.
Forgot, hello, Stewie.
Forgot
hello,
what you look everyone. Like. Oh, it's that face. I do remember it. But, you know, you have been very busy, like we haven't, because we're not that busy at the moment. It is the brand new single from Ellie Goulding. It's called On My Mind. Catherine Ellis, what's on yours?
Well, Phil,
do I need to ask?
I did promise this person I would not reveal his identity. which I won't. But I did also warn him that I would be mentioning his faux pas, shall we call it, on the podcast. Because the other day, one of our, as Vanessa Feltz would say, lovely listeners, was on the chat, on the old messaging, on the PMKE on Facebook page. And we were chatting. He was actually saying what a star Zeb was, rescuing me from the spider. And I said, oh, yes, he rescued me from a moth the other day. Lol. To which he responded with a graphic picture of his penis. In an excitable state. Followed by another picture of his excitable penis. First one was in the bath and the second one wasn't.
Can I just say, I love the way you say penis.
Followed by L.O. Diva. And I thought, aye, aye.
Did he have a little wink at the end as well? Wink, by the way, sorry.
Anyway, obviously, you know, I'm a woman of the world. I've seen it all. However, this is not somebody that I know. In fact, it's probably better that I don't, because it'd be horrible to see someone's penis that you did know. Who's a friend. You'd just never be able to... Well, it would just be horrible, wouldn't it? I am going to put this down to human error and multiple chats. However, please do not send me any more pictures of this nature.
But Catherine Ellis, you see, as an international superstar, you must have had some stranger gifts through the post or maybe on an email. Or...
I don't think I've ever been sent a picture.
Of a penis.
Well, two pictures of someone's cock in action. Well, it wasn't actually in action with another person, but it was in action with this person's hand, shall we say.
Can we just say that person, I think, is mortified that this did happen.
Oh, horribly embarrassed.
And we probably embarrassed him even more so by talking about it.
Well, only he and we know who it is. And, just
and that's
so,
where it's going to stay.
Just so you know, we haven't even told Stu, who really wanted to know. Oh, let me know. We haven't, have we, Phil?
No, we haven't. We've been very
anyway, you
discreet.
And you know who you are.
Yeah, to make you
didn't want
worse.
Phil to see it, but it is a joint page. And actually, what you don't know is that at the time when I was actually talking to you and dealing with this rather sensitive issue, Phil had texted me. My phone was on my desk and went, oh my fucking God, have you seen the messages? So anyway, yeah, nice to know that you're healthy. And, you know, that everything's working properly. And I don't know much about your private life, but I do hope you get a chance to share it with a willing and grateful recipient.
So our first and most important shout out to...
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to the flasher. Okay, shout out to my lovely friend Rick Norton, who's a dentist and also a songwriter, who's more or less got a flip-top head like Pac-Man when he laughs. He's fabulous. He's got a brilliant
sense
of humour.
Do you remember the sweet dispenser with a flip-top head at the
yeah,
top?
Yeah, what are they called? Pez.
Yeah, it's like one of those.
He just laughs so wholeheartedly, it's brilliant. You know, real sort of head back, mouth open, just desperate with life.
It's like us when we do the podcast. It's a tonic, isn't it?
Anyway, love ya. Shout out, Rick Norton.
And I've got. Can I do one?
Go on then. Bloody hell.
I'd like to shout
it.
I have to let you do it. I can't do it like you can. The lovely Sarah McIntosh is a very good friend of mine. She's a singer in a band called Love Stars.
Oh, is she?
And she's absolutely brilliant. She writes her own songs, just like you do. She's in a band called Love Stars, but used to be in a band called The Good Natured, who were about to release an album, and the record label decided not to release the album, so she lost all that material. So she started again with the Love Stars, started from scratch, and they're just about to do a Kickstarter campaign, which is probably running by the time this podcast comes out. If you head over to Love Stars, that's with two R's in Love Stars, head over to their Facebook page, you can find all the details there. That's the best place to go. They need some money to make their album, so go over there and give them a helping hand.
Right. Well, someone else who needs money is the Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
And I would like to shout at Fiona Gibson, best-selling author and friend of Max's. I've never actually met her. She lives in Scotland, but we're Facebook friends. And she's come up with this fabulous idea. If you go onto Just Giving and search for Fiona's Birds for Syria, she is hand-painting birds in cages, and the birds are stamps.
Oh, okay.
With birds on it. Yeah. They're absolutely beautiful and such a nice gift for a birthday.
What a great way of doing it as well. Yeah. Creative, piece of art to raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, so go to Fiona's Birds for Syria on the Just Giving page.
Brilliant. Another shout out for
Billy
Ray Martin, who, of course, back in the 90s had a massive house hit, huge hit called You Love in Arms. A massive house hit.
Probably had a massive house as well.
You Love in Arms. She was in LX Tribe 101 as well. She was in S Express. She sung vocals for, I think it was Hey Music Lover. Can't remember. I think there was more than one track.
She also worked with our friend Clifford Slapper.
Yeah, he played piano for her recently, didn't he? But the last time she was here, I think, was May of this year. She played at the Glory in London. She's back to do a couple of dates here. Those dates have probably been and gone by the time this podcast is out. But she will return again because she's always back in London. But she's based in Berlin. And she very kindly me on the guest list for her show, which I haven't been to yet because it hasn't happened, which is at the Shoreditch House venue. It was going to be at the Red Gallery in London, but it's changed venue. So yes, thank you, Billy, and hello and shout out to you.
Shout out.
And releasing lots of fabulous music. Guy Shyman as well, who we've got to do a
shout out
for. Now, you've just met him or been introduced to him.
Oh, yes.
DJ in Tel Aviv. I met up with him for a coffee a few days ago. And he was talking about releasing, producing a track. I know this is all very early stages because nothing, you know, you haven't really discussed anything yet. But he was very keen to be introduced to you, potentially.
I should send him your way, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it's only just happened. Yeah, it's only just happened. Getting the glares from the PA. Stewie's still in the building.
I've got one more for this podcast. Shout out Geordie Soul.
Yeah, the lovely Geordie.
Lovely Geordie.
Yeah, he's a frequent contributor on our Facebook page.
He is.
So what's he done?
He wanted a shout out. You said we're recording, so he wanted a shout out, and he says he would.
Yeah, he hasn't done any London gigs. He hasn't released any music with S Express.
No, he's just lovely.
He's just lovely. That's good enough reason for a shout out on the show, I think.
That's right.
You're looking at me like I'm a total.
He hasn't sent us any. He hasn't sent us any pictures of his penis either.
Episode 18 of the Phil Marriott and Catherine Ennis podcast. And of course, every episode we terrorise the diva. Well, you do, Max Ellis. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be responsible for terrorising, giving her nightmares. But you love it,
well,
don't
it is
you?
Nearly Halloween.
Yeah, you do Halloween? Love it, don't you?
I do like it. I don't know. She's quite becoming quite immune to most things now.
Perhaps you should change your musical stylings.
I don't know. I think I can still annoy her, though. I think there are areas that, you know, even she can't become immune to.
I can imagine that you're in a cheeky, mischievous way, not in a nasty way, but I would imagine that you love to get her back up a little bit.
Not
time
really
to time.
Because do you know what, it's actually difficult because we've got quite different musical tastes, obviously, and we've got the record player, the turntable downstairs, and I don't feel comfortable putting on music when she's actually in, because I can feel her bristling.
You can feel the tension.
Yeah, and it's just, I know she's not enjoying it, and that kind of spoils my enjoyment. I can feel her judging it.
I know exactly what you mean, because I think any person who's in a relationship, or even with flatmates, that hate music that you listen to, I can imagine that. I think you do feel uncomfortable because you can't enjoy it 100% because you're always aware that there's somebody there spoiling your fun.
No, yeah. Well, it also, I don't know, it does. It just takes the edge off and you can't really relax and enjoy it.
Now, before we get onto your song, a couple of things I need to mention. First of all, your tooth. You've been in pain because earlier on you bit into an olive. You very kindly made us lunch. Salad, very healthy.
It was Catherine's fault, we established, didn't we?
Blame Catherine for the olive, which had a stone in it.
Yeah, no, just broke a bit off a tooth. It's not, I'm not actually in pain, apart from where it's cutting my tongue.
You can feel it on your tongue. It's serrated.
It's digging into my tongue. I'm going to have to sort that out later.
Yeah, get a free dentist.
Wait till Stewie gets here, though.
So, secondly, your T-shirt. I have to say thumbs up for your T-shirt. Yeah. We're going to have to get the bleep machine out. F*** it, let's drink.
Yes, it's good.
Big though. Anchor.
Well, I've got the other one as well. They've got sunshine rainbows over here, which is I particularly like as well. I was doing a wedding over the weekend or previous weekend in Spain, and it was a bit of a panic on. And I did have like a more weddingy friendly shirt to wear, but I ended up being driven all over the place, mad rush, and 2 hours late to get the bride to the wedding, and having to shoot the whole wedding in my let's drink vest.
Do you know these people that made them?
I found them, it's funny, on Instagram. I saw someone wearing, some crazy Australian hunter wearing a t-shirt. I think he was wearing the let's drink t-shirt, and I sort of messaged him and said, where'd you get that from? He goes, oh, this amazing company, they're called Buy Me Brunch. One of their t-shirts has got a gun on it and Buy Me Brunch, and
amazing.
And they've got Comet Estas Bitches as well, as another one which I'm gonna get, and Tequila Made Me Do It, and Whiskey Made Me Do It. But they're all this really nice font. They've got this really chunky handmade font.
I think they're very you.
Yeah, they are.
They are very you.
So
they
suit buy
you,
from America. BuyMeBrunch.com. Well worth a visit.
Amazing. A nice little shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Buy Me Brunch. Love you guys.
So another shout out then for your artists today, who are, correct me if I'm wrong, they are Scissorfight.
Scissorfight.
I've never heard of them.
Well, very few people have heard of Scissorfight because they're no longer with us. They've sort of broke up about 10 years ago. But they're very much kind of backwards, kind of survivalist American kind of hardcore band that kind of, you know, write a lot of songs about, you know, fighting the government and living in caves and shooting satellites down and guns, mainly guns and hunting and shooting satellites down is their subject of choice.
Right.
This song, actually, I think Catherine quite likes this one secretly. She just sort of, she knows it and sort of laughs.
You really, really have to change your musical stylings.
I think it is quite funny. I mean, they're subject matters. They've got a lot of songs about, you know, pirates and you know, blood and guts and guns.
Like a scurvy dog.
Yeah, they are scurvy. They sound a bit scurvy. This one, Cadaver Recovery Man, which is, in even the title's pretty funny. But I remember my daughter Ruby saying, oh, it sounds like Jack Black, one of his ridiculous songs. You know? But then, you know, got a bit of respect for Jack Black. You know, he's a guy that can hold a tune.
So what is the song? It's by Scissorfight.
Yeah, and then it's called Cadaver Recovery Man.
Turn it up. Is that possibly a suggestion there?
Yeah, turn it up really loud.
Louder than ever. Bust your speakers. Blow them. The new single from Foxes, it's called Better Love on the PMK podcast.
Now, Phil.
Yes.
You've had a birthday, haven't you?
I have, and it wasn't my 46th birthday, thank you very much for asking.
You shouldn't lie about your age then and round your age up so that people think you're older than you are.
You did just suggest that that's how old
I
was.
It's
not
a maths class.
No.
Anyway, shut up, because me and Stu have got a song for you.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Phyllis. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not worthy. That was beautiful. I love the harmonising as well.
You did do well.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. And so say all of us.
And so say all of us.
And so say all of us. For Phil's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. And so say all of us.
I think you should release that as a single.
We can do a remix.
It'll
well,
be a hit.
You know, the a cappella is now out there for all of sundry. Please feel free to rip it and use it.
Do you know I might sample it on my next remix with Rich B?
Why don't you?
Yeah, for my birthday next year when I'm 46. When I really am 46.
Okay, well, it's nice to know.
Year, Phil, though.
Get your facts right.
You'll be in your 47th year then.
Yeah, thank you.
Nearer 50 than 40.
Thank you very much for that song. That was beautiful.
Moving swiftly on.
Yeah. We were
so
reminiscing.
So did you have a nice time?
I did. I had a really nice time. It was a quiet one because I think when you get to the advancing years, it sounds like I'm a pensioner already. I don't know about you, but I just want to... I mean, you didn't because you had a massive party for your big birthday recently.
Yeah.
I just want to forget. Not forget that it's my birthday, but not really make a song and dance about it.
It's not as exciting as
it is. Yeah, well, it's not. I just want to be with friends or have quality time doing something that I enjoy. I don't necessarily want to have a knees up.
No.
A big knees up. Do you know what I mean?
Every decade, maybe.
Yeah, well,
your advancing twilight.
My advancing
don't wear yourself out by having a big party once a year.
But no, it was
exhausting.
It was a lovely night. We had a quiet one. We went to a bar below a restaurant called Antico. I don't know if you know it in Bermondsey
I'm very
Street.
Sorry I wasn't able to come.
Well,
I'd have liked to have come.
I let you off because I know that you're
well,
very
my
busy.
Husband was away. He was in Spain.
Yeah.
And I was had the children the here.
You were missed. You were missed.
You'll have to have another one.
But to be honest, it wasn't really a party that I invited. I didn't really invite any people.
I
know, that's what I mean. I didn't, and it goes back to me not making a song and dance about it, because I didn't, it was a really last minute thing, and it was just like, oh, I'm going to go for a meal with Jeremy, and we could have drinks afterwards. Exactly it. That is exactly it.
Yes, why don't you talk about that? Sorry,
well, you had a big party, Stewie. Which, of course, was a big song and a dance. What was that, 4 years ago?
It was more like a Hollywood musical.
It was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years?
It was 2 years ago.
It feels like longer.
I'm a lot longer than... Longer.
And that was it the Richmond Hotel?
It was the Richmond Hill Hotel.
Yeah, Richmond Hill Hotel. That was fantastic.
Yeah, celebrating my 40th birthday.
Yeah. So it wasn't 4 or 5 years ago. No, is that why you shrieked in horror?
2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 42. Yeah, so that was... Yeah, but I think when you get to a certain time, you want to do something like that.
I guess so. And 40th is important.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I wanted to have friends and family around me, you know, to celebrate.
And you did.
It's not often that you get all of those people in one room, and I did. And it was a great evening, and I was very...
pissed.
Well, also, you hired Boogaloo Stew and Dolly Rocket.
Yeah.
And you had international house music diva Catherine Ellis
singing
for you as a
Freemasons
gift.
Freemasons were there. Paul
and
Morrell was there.
And also the Freemasons as a gift DJing.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Lee Dagger was there.
Bimbo Jones was DJing. Mm. So it was a really good evening.
And, it was fantastic.
You know, I will remember that for a very, very long time.
And...
Will you remember it until the day you die?
I will.
Probably the most important of all, Double R Double T was there as a very special guest.
He was.
You're looking at me as if it's to say, most special.
Phil, were you there for a book signing?
You didn't DJ that night, though.
No,
did
I didn't.
You?
No. I left that to the experts.
Why didn't you ask Phil to DJ?
Well, because sometimes I think when
God,
you invite
honestly,
people along,
Stu.
And I know that you worked that evening, but when we have fun, it's not really like working.
Just want to let your hair down,
you
don't you?
Just want to have fun and not really think about working.
Yeah.
So you
I
didn't
never
mind
thought.
Me not being able to have fun. It was all right to ask me to sing.
I think he was hard hiding the microphone.
Fair enough.
I didn't even think that though. I didn't even think, oh, why haven't you asked me to DJ? Because pennies dropped. No, I was honoured to be invited.
It was very nice.
It was a fun evening.
It was a fun
I remember
evening.
It well.
And of course, next year, you're next getting year? Married, aren't you,
I
Stu?
Am, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Is it all top secret at the moment, Stewie?
Yes.
When you said autopsy, it sounded like you were going to say autopsy.
The advancing years.
Autopsy secret.
Well, I should look forward to
hearing
the news.
We've managed
to
get the fact that it's in England out of him.
Yeah.
And the date.
I can tell you that I do have a wedding planner.
Excellent.
But I can't really tell you any more than that.
Is this person American?
No. She's British.
Oh, it's a woman.
She?
A British woman.
She's British. Who could that be?
Is she really posh?
It's Alexa Polizzi. No, it's not her.
Oh my God! I love her.
Smell. I wouldn't know. No. See how I didn't react? Because I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh my God, she doesn't take any shit.
No, no, no. If you watch the hotel,
so is it someone that people have heard of then, your planner? So is your planner posh? Is she like, now come along now, Stuart and Lee?
She's not old.
But she's not common as muck either.
No. She won't take any shit.
Right.
Is she from up north? Now, come on, Stu and Lee, love.
No.
We've not got our bloody year to plan this. What cake do you want?
It's a Jay McDonald.
It does sound like Jay McDonald.
I want to know where your wedding planner's from.
I actually don't know where.
What
she's
regional
from.
Accent?
She hasn't. She hasn't actually got.
So
a
just a generic southern
she is from
accent.
The South.
Okay.
Yeah,
is she a singer?
She's not. No.
Is she young?
She actually is a professional.
How old is she?
Do we know her then?
How old is she?
Kind of defeats the
objective. Roughly
of the game,
how old is she?
We're never going to guess.
She's in her 20s.
Right, so she's in her 20s with a generic southern accent, a southern English accent, not southern United States.
Okay. Texas.
But we won't know her though, because she's not famous.
No.
Or will we know her?
No, you won't.
So she's not a friend of ours?
No.
Why aren't you allowed to say anything about her then?
Well, I can, but I just don't really want to necessarily divulge any more than that.
Okay.
It was fun when it
I've
started.
I've got a wedding planner.
But nobody knows
that
her.
I'm not going to tell you anything about, even though there's no reason for me not to.
All I will say is that she is very good at what she's been doing for us. So we don't.
So you don't want to give her a shout out then for being a fabulous
maybe
wedding planner?
But if she's listening, she knows who she is.
I suppose we need to see whether she continues to be really good.
Yeah.
Whether she, you know, to get the honour of a shout out on the PMKE podcast. I like the way when I started doing a posh voice for her, you said, no, she's not old. What do you mean?
No, but the voice that you put on sounded
is it?
Like it was an old
is it really? Interesting. Very interesting, Stu.
You're fired, Stu. That's coming up,
so
isn't it?
So you didn't ask Phil to DJ 2 years ago at your party.
I'm too old.
When I do an impersonation, I sound old.
Mature, experienced.
No.
But anyway, we are moving slightly
he
away.
He used the word old.
We are moving away from the fact is that we were going to talk about Phil's 40th.
Oh, were we?
Yeah,
I thought so we'd done that.
On to that one.
We've done that.
No, where we surprised him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Go on, then.
Yes. So, when Phil was working on a radio station.
Was it Gaydar?
It was Gaydar.
Yeah.
Catherine and I thought it would be a great surprise to essentially hijack his show live on air.
What a genius idea.
Without
as well.
Phil knowing anything
yeah,
about it.
I didn't have a clue.
Was
I didn't
it, did
know.
We had Rita with us.
We had Rita
yeah,
Campbell
Arita
with
Diva.
Us.
Lots of famous special
hashtag
guests.
Hashtag titty boxing, hashtag
yeah.
Arita Diva.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't seen you recently, Rita.
Yeah, nor have I.
Well overdue.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had inside help as well. A couple of your colleagues at that time helped us load everything
amazing.
Up and kind of put all the sound bites and get all the phones working so we could do international
and
calls.
There were loads of international calls because we had Dave All Day.
We did.
We had the Freemasons,
yes.
I think, were on it.
Yes.
We had Shanna, I think.
Yep.
She did a
Shawnee
phoner.
Taylor.
Shawnee Taylor.
Yeah.
Oh, some incredible people
yep.
that we used to support
absolutely.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Still
and
do as well.
All
on
wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
It was. It was
Angie
very special
Brown was
night.
On as well.
Yeah.
So we had them all.
So it's episode 18 of the Phil Marriott and Catherine Ellis podcast. If you're a regular listener, you will know that every couple of weeks on each episode, we invite the long-suffering PA, the manager of the Diva, Catherine Ellis, who is Stewie Eldridge. Hello, Stewie.
Hello, hello.
Do you know what? I was just thinking about something funny. The first, very first time I met you, I think it was at, was it at Heaven or XXL or somewhere?
No,
and you were DJing?
You know when it was? No, the first time we met, Phil, was at Opera in Bournemouth.
Yes, at Bolts.
Yes, yes.
That was because I came up to you.
The place is called Opera, isn't it?
Oh, I know what I'm getting. I think it is Opera now.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it used to. Oh, the club night was called Bolts. But you're right,
think, yeah.
it's the Opera House,
yes,
isn't
yes,
it? Or
e
Opera
House, yeah, yeah.
But I remember the first time I was talking about you, and I'm sure it was Christian M.
Oh, yes.
That DJed at XXL.
Yes,
and I went up
indeed.
To him and I was talking about you and said that I knew you.
Yes.
And I called you Stewie. Because for some reason, I thought that's what you were called. It
did
was
he,
your nickname.
Did he have a puzzled look on
He looked at me like I was some kind of freak, like I just crawled out of underneath the stone. It's like you complete
But you know what?
Idiot.
We have known each other for a very long time.
We have.
Phil.
It's what, 8 years? No, 7 years?
Seven.
Maybe?
It's got to be 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and it's
yeah.
flown by. It's whiz, doesn't it?
In a blink of an eye.
Yeah, because we used to meet up a lot for Gaydar Radio, which is where I used to work. Yes. He used to come and invade the studio and gatecrash parties.
Well, that's a long time ago. That's like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And what was it? What was the picture that somebody posted on Facebook recently? Oh, it was you.
It
you
was,
posted one
yes.
of 5 years ago. Yes. It was my birthday, wasn't it?
It was when we did the Phil Merritt's 40th birthday
with
takeover.
Rita Campbell
and Catherine.
That was amazing.
That was such an amazing evening.
And it's, of course, amazing now, but very different because we're doing different things.
Yes, of course. But it's still, you can look back on it and it's actually, it was a great time.
But the thing is, you're not doing different things with the diva because you're still doing...
Yes, doing a lot.
Running around
if
and
anything,
organising.
It's even more busier than it was then.
Is it?
Yeah.
Crazy. So, yeah. So we've got a song, When You Touch Me, which of course is the Freemasons collaboration, one of many.
Yeah.
What memories does it bring back for you? Because I know what memories
it's
it brings
for
It's
kind of a weird one because I remember when Catherine actually first played it to me and... I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. and I was like, who is it? Who have you done this with?
You can tell it's a hit right from the first time you hear it.
It was. I think it was, well, you're boring me now.
Great opening line.
I mean, it's just like, it just was instant. Yeah. And she said it was the Freemasons. And I think because it was kind of early of working with her, I hadn't yet met them. And obviously from going out and clubbing, and that was the sort of the soundtrack to my evenings is the Freemasons. Yeah. I was very excited, as you can imagine. It was just, well, okay, so what's going to happen with this? And she was kind of, at the time, I think, very kind of, oh, well, if it happens, it happens. I was like, this has got to happen.
That's a good approach, though, isn't it? Because you're not totally disappointed if it does go wrong. Yes. But of course, it wasn't going to go wrong because it was a massive hit.
But the interesting thing is it actually took 2 years from the first time I heard it for it to actually then be released.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you have tracks like that, sometimes they're immediate and they will happen because somebody's posted it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever and it's been an overnight success, or it's taken time to kind of build momentum, and because of the admin that's associated with signing a deal like
this,
it's that kind of takes the time. It's just getting it quite right. There's lots of things involving, you know, that side of it, so the admin side of it, then it's whether or not the track's going to be playlisted on Radio 1 and all that kind of stuff.
Well, so, I remember it. Was it number 12? I think it was one of their biggest hits, wasn't it, the Freemasons?
It's their
commercially,
biggest track,
the top 40.
Original track to date.
I remember the memories it brings back for me, and it was a very exciting time because I think the Freemasons, as they are now, but I think very differently because obviously, you know, bands and musicians, they evolve, don't they? But I think when we think back to that time, the Freemasons were just everywhere. They were everywhere. And the station that I was working for, Gaydar, they were one of the key artists on that station.
Yeah.
And Catherine was one of the key artists.
And I think
that
even today, in terms of the production side of stuff, they are still there.
Totally. Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily... I think music has kind of changed in terms of how it reaches us.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very rare that we see artists as big as people like Madonna and all those kind of things in the future, but just because of the way that music is now distributed.
I think dance music has evolved. It's changed. We went through an EDM phase not so long ago, and now that's...
Were we ever out of it?
Now it's deep house now, isn't it? The emphasis now. And I think that's even moving on now. Yeah. I think
it moves so quickly.
Yeah, music does, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what genre it is. I think it just changes because people just not get bored or something, but they just move on.
And I think that the successful people are the people who can actually transition between what they were maybe famous for then through to whatever the new genre is.
Yeah.
I think those are the people that are going to stay around for a while.
It was a very exciting time though, wasn't it, when this came out?
It was. I mean, we travelled like all over. I know that Catherine went to... some award. There was a big award ceremony in Brussels or Belgium that she went to.
Oh, is that the Antwerp?
And it was like,
was it MTV,
I don't know,
it was
like
or something?
15 or 20,000 people.
I saw the video recently and it gave me goosebumps because it was just so vast.
Yeah.
And so many people.
And I think
there.
That she did Australia, so she did Mardi Gras. She did that a couple of times with the Freemasons. And when they were there, they were doing dance routines to the video. And I mean, it was it was an incredible time. And yeah, it was hugely busy.
What's the one thing that you think of when you hear this, and especially the opening line, which I think is one of the best lyrics as well? You're boring me now. It's like so acidic, but so tongue in cheek as well.
No, I you know what? It always makes me smile because of just of it was a lot of hard work, but I think there was equally a lot of fun that went on with it, and whether that was, you know, doing the Graham Norton show, because she did that with the boys.
I remember, yeah.
Or travelling around and actually doing the promo for it. I mean, it was just a great time. We had a great laugh.
And it was Joan Rivers that was there as one of the guests of Graham Norton.
Joan Rivers, and Catherine got to meet her as well, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good time. I'd like to think that there's going to be more of those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt there will be.
It's just when that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it already.
I think we should hear it. When You Touch Me, the Freemasons.
I won't sing again, but let's open it up.
So, music from the Freemasons featuring Catherine Ellis, When You Touch Me on My Body.
Touch me on my body.
That leads us to the Divas Classic Cut. Mm,
indeed. Well, today, my classic cut is a very old song. It was part of a musical called The New Yorkers, which opened on Broadway in December 1930. So a song called Love for Sale, which is 85 years old now. Been recorded by many artists over the years, but I think probably my favourite version was recorded by Aretha Franklin in 1965, when she was 23. Bear that in mind when you hear it, 23. Now, this is part of a live album called Yeah! In Person with her quartet. It's vinyl that I actually own. I made an MP3 of this. And I just think it's just so amazing when you take into consideration she was 23. And this is live, the whole thing in one take with the band and everything. I just think it's absolutely amazing.
Demonstrating the real talent.
Yeah, at just indisputable, fantastic talent.
I think if there's one artist that I think you're really inspired by and you can hear that influence, it's her.
Because
You've got the same diva, gutsy vocal power.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I just think she's amazing, and I don't know. I won't say what I think or do or don't think about myself. I'm babbling now. But yes, I have listened to a lot of her singing over the years. I mean, for many years, and really studied her voice. And she is amazing. And apart from having a very wide range and lots of different tones and sounds to her voice, she really gets the emotion in there. But she's also sounds so relaxed. She does these incredible things, but she sounds so relaxed doing it. It's effortless, jumping up the octave and holding these impossibly long notes. And her voice is placed higher than mine. If I ever cover any of her songs, I always have to take it down a couple of tones. She's got quite a high voice, really.
And what is she now? She's 73. And still performing.
Still singing, performing, yeah. She won't fly. I mean, it's something if I had the money, or if I, you know, get the opportunity, I would love to go to America and see her in concert. I've never seen her live.
She's an icon. She's a diva.
Mm.
True diva.
Yeah.
Much like yourself.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. But no, what I meant by that, I didn't mean that you were copying her or sounded like her, because I think you sound, you know, you've got your own style as well. But I can hear the influence. I can hear, you know, especially her delivery.
Yeah, the soul. Yeah.
I can hear that in you too.
Well, I guess being born in 1942, I know she grew up in church, didn't she? So there's all the gospel and the soul, but then also the obviously going into the jazz and the blues in the 50s. And, you know, this was recorded in 1965. It's actually the year that I was born.
Did you grow up listening to her when you were younger?
No, I discovered her when I was about 19. I got into all the old, you know, proper jazz singers, and at that time my mum went out with a jazz drummer, and he actually gave me a Billie Holiday cassette, and that's what started it off. And from there, mainly through the songs rather than the singers, there's a record shop that's still in Brighton at the end of Terminus Road, and this guy's been there forever that runs it. It's a specialist vinyl record shop called The Record Album, and I used to go in there and actually look for song titles and then buy albums based on the songs, because I had a boyfriend at the time who was a pianist, and we had gigs around Brighton, and we just loved all the old jazz and soul songs, and we went for about 2 or 3 years, we learnt loads of them. So, and I discovered lots of other vocalists through that, through looking for different versions of the same song on vinyl and talking to the man in the record album who was a real expert. So from there, I discovered Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan. Obviously, I'd heard of Frank Sinatra, but I started really listening to him then, and Mel Torme, and yeah, and other singers that people haven't necessarily heard of, such as Lee Wiley, Mildred Bailey, you know.
Well, I think we should hear it. I think you should introduce it.
Okay, so this is a live version of Love for Sale, written by Cole Porter, performed by Aretha Franklin and her quartet.
So that is almost it from us on the PNK podcast. Going out with a bang, because we had an episode earlier whilst eating lunch. There was a bit of an episode.
A loud cracking sound, and I'd put some olives in the salad, which weren't meant to have stones, but sadly one did, and Max has broken a tooth. Mm. And he is now in the bathroom filing it.
With what looked like
a nail file,
but it was a nail file on one of those, what they call, the pocket penknife. Yeah,
Swiss Army knife. And Stewie has literally lost it. I've never seen Stewie look so unwell.
I hope he's going to put that under hot water or something. Just
Max, are you sterilising the area?
Sterilising, yeah.
Have you done it? Is it better?
No, don't bring it close to me.
He says it's a bit better. He's threatening Stew with the file. Home dentistry. So listen, you know, this is a service we can offer. Should you chip a tooth and leave a sharp stump?
I was going to say, if there were any professional dentists out there who would like to actually give us free dental treatment.
Please.
We have Max here.
In return for a shout. And on that bombshell, it might be time to say goodbye and get the smelling salts out for Stewie.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to interact with us via our Facebook page, PMK Podcast.
PMKE Podcast! On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on filmaria.net, and on iTunes.
And if you're listening on iTunes, don't forget we have a music version over on Mixcloud at... Come on.
What? Oh, PMKE Podcast on Mixcloud.
We're just everywhere. We're off now because we're going to tend to Max Ellis with his chipped tooth.
I actually feel more sorry for Stewie looking at him.
He's been probed with a Swiss Army knife.
Penis. In an excitable state. Excitable penis.